You ready for the word? Father, we thank you for the minister of the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the one who has been sent to guide us into truth, to take up the things of Jesus and to reveal them to us. We want to see Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we're totally dependent upon you, the teacher in us, to teach through us and to give your people understanding. In Jesus' name, all right? So again, all year we've been talking about this life abundant, and our focus has been on getting to know this life and living by drawing upon that life every day in every situation. Christianity is not intended to be lived by you in your strength. That's not Christianity, that's religion. Christianity is life. It is the life of Christ himself being lived in you and through you by Christ as you put your faith in him. Hallelujah. And so last week we looked at what Paul said to Timothy when he said, Timothy, lay hold on the eternal life which you have received. Lay hold of it. All of us who are believers and have received Christ as our Savior, we possess eternal life and eternal life possesses us. Amen? But Paul told Timothy and therefore is saying to all of us, go ahead and possess, lay hold, get a grip on what you have. Don't have this eternal life on the inside of you and live as though it does not exist. Or live as though you're going to have to wait for heaven to get it. Eternal life is not heaven. Eternal life doesn't come to you after you die. You now possess eternal life, and eternal life possesses you. Say hallelujah. Remember, the purpose of God in redemption was to create an eternal and unbreakable union between you and him. That was God's intention when he first created man. Sin interrupted that. Jesus took care of the sin problem in order that we might be once again joined to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that we would be included in the fellowship that has been taking place eternally between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I heard Mama Jean say the other day that God did not create us because he needed us. He wasn't looking for servants. God created us because he desired us. And he desired us to be part of this family that we just spoke about that makes us royalty. He had the Son, Jesus. The Bible says he desired many sons. Jesus desired many brethren. And so the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, remember, this is God's idea. Salvation is not you and I begging God to help us. No, it is God's idea. It was in the mind of God in eternity past. Even before he created you, he already had this thing in mind. He knew what would happen, but he had a plan by which he would recover you and restore you and fulfill his purpose to make you part of his family. You who are married, you desire children because you want to include them in your family. You want to love them. You want to share your life with them. You want them to be a part of your life. You desire them. I hope you're not having children to work for you. I don't think so, because most of the time you do more work for them than they ever do for you. Right? You know the tremendous responsibility that comes with having children, taking care of them, right? Yet you desire them. Why? Because you want, there's something in you, I believe because you're made in the image of God, that just wants to be able to reproduce yourself in some way and then just pour out your life and your love upon that person. That's exactly why the Father created us, and that's exactly why the Father saved us and Jesus came. So Jesus came, and by what he did on the cross for this purpose, that God's desire to have many children and his desire for Jesus to have many brothers, just like Jesus, the whole plan of redemption was executed and succeeded perfectly. So once again, say to yourself and say to the person next to you, we are part of his family. We are royalty. Amen. Jesus on the cross secured our forgiveness of sins. All our sins. It cannot be just some, because if it's just some of the sins, the thing doesn't work. God cannot live in us if there's unforgiven sin. So whatever Jesus did had to solve the sin problem. If it didn't solve the sin problem, the whole plan of God fails. Remember, why couldn't Adam have remained in the garden when he sinned? Because one sin was enough to interrupt the whole plan. So the solution had to take care of every sin. If it didn't take care of every sin, then it didn't work. But it did. By one offering, Jesus forever took care of the sin problem. God is satisfied. The price of sin has been paid. Sin is removed by the blood of Jesus. Now God can live in us and we can live in him. And God can have his children and Jesus can have his brethren. And we can have eternal fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit beginning now. Say hallelujah. Beginning now. You don't wait for heaven to fellowship, man. He's in you now. Hallelujah. So having secured all of this, having removed our sins and total forgiveness, Jesus has downloaded his life into us. Now we have his life, the eternal life, living on the inside of us. Turn to 1 John 5:20. 1 John 5:20, I want to read a scripture there. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And then listen to what he concludes with. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, the literal translation of that last sentence, and you can find this in some of the other translations. This, referring to Jesus, is the true God and the eternal life. The Amplified Bible says, this man, referring to Jesus, is the true God and life eternal. So we discover that the eternal life is actually another name for Jesus. Oh, shalabrosiki. The eternal life is actually another name of Jesus. So when the Bible says that we have the eternal life, that's another way of saying that the eternal Son of God himself is living permanently and personally inside of you. Where do you see Jesus when you see him? In heaven, he's there because he fills the universe. But the gospel is that Christ is in you. Let me say that to the person. The gospel, the good news, the thing we proclaim, the message, is that Christ, the eternal life, the true God, through redemption, through the forgiveness of sins, through the work on the cross, by the power of the Holy Spirit, now lives inside of you. Where do you see him when you see him? Where do you see him when you pray? Where do you see him when you worship? Distant, far, and you're trying to get his attention? Do you see him passing by? Or do you see that he has taken permanent, personal residence inside of you? I told you the Christian life is not you trying to live for him. It's actually he living his life in you, by you, and through you. For him to do so, he has to come into you. Say after me, say, I am living this life by the power of that life, which is his life, working in me now. Come on, let's confess that one more time. I am living this life by the power of that life, which is his life working in me now. That's why you can do all things. Because you're not living it by your power. By your power, you can do nothing. But when you're living it by the power of that life, which is his life, working in you now, you can do all things consistent with God's will and purpose for your life. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Son of God is actually the one living inside of you. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. He says, it's better for you that I go away. It's what? Better for you that I leave. That I don't remain here physically. As I've been with you for the last 3 years, you've been totally dependent upon me for everything. I fed you. When you needed wisdom, I told you what to do. I provided for you. I protected you. And I know it's difficult for you to conceive and to be excited about the fact that I'm leaving physically. But he says it's actually better. Because this is what I'm going to do when I leave. I'm going to go to the Father. And I'm going to take care of what needs to be taken care of. I got to deal with all that sin problem, get everything right, you know. But I'm going to take care of that. And once I've taken care of that, this is what I'm going to do. I'm coming back. But this time, I don't intend to be living on the outside. When I come back, I'm going to live inside of you. You know what? It's great that Jesus is in heaven. And he is, because he is everywhere. But it's far better that he is living inside of you. Because now you will never be where he's not. Whether you're in a lawyer's office, a doctor's office, at work, at home, at church, in a car, you don't have to be afraid because you will never be where he is not. And you will never be closer to him than you already are. Because how can you be closer to someone than you are if that someone is actually living inside of you? Turn to the person next to you and tell him, you are exceedingly close. And Jesus is exceedingly close to you. In fact, he's one with you. Hallelujah. So Jesus says in John 14:20, he says, at that day, speaking of this day, you will know I am what? In my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Here's the question. If you believe in Jesus, just like the Father was in Jesus, Jesus is in you, and you are in Jesus. Do you know that? Do you really know it? You see, you can say you know it and you don't know it. There's a difference between I know it and I know it. Many of us know it here. We can pass an exam, take a test, our question is asked, yes, Jesus is in me. But listen, if you're going to get a hold of this, if I'm going to get a hold of this, if I'm going to get a grip on this revelation so that I'm actually experiencing the power of it, I can't just know it intellectually. This thing has to be a revelation, something that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what the challenges are, no matter how big the devil is, no matter how great the problem, no matter how difficult, I know that I know. If I don't know anything else, I know this. I know this better than I know my name. Amen. That's the way we got to know this thing, folks. So this is not a sermon series that we listen to and then we go to another one and we forget everything. This is not information. This is life. And I'm challenging myself and I'm challenging you to listen this time different. I'm not saying anything I haven't said. I preached these things before. Okay? It's not anything I haven't preached. But for many of us, it sounds like it's never been preached before. That just tells you that you never grabbed it. You never laid hold of it. You heard it, but you didn't lay hold of it. And so it didn't produce the kind of fruit it could have produced. Remember the danger, the warning Jesus gives us. He says when the word is preached, immediately he says the devil comes. To do what? Steal it. Because he doesn't want that revelation to get on the inside of you and stay there to start to produce fruit. So one of the ways he keeps it from getting into you is right now he distracts you. You got a call or somebody got to, oh, when I go home, or I forgot something. And he distracts you and you're here looking at me and you're not hearing a thing I'm saying. Say, devil, I rebuke you. I will hear this word, and I will hear it well, and I will understand it, and I will get a grip on this revelation. Christ is my life. Christ lives in me. I live this life by the power of that life, which is his life working in me now. I can do all things through him who is strengthening me now. Amen. And I'm focusing on now because many of us put it all in the future. We are royalty now. And because we're royalty now, we're going to be royalty in the future. But let's grab a hold of the fact that we're royalty now. Because if you're not royalty now, you're not going to be royalty in the future. All that God has for us in the future begins now. Now, we're going from glory to glory, so we're going to experience more and more. But it already has started, people. Are you hearing me? So in this day, you will what? No. Say to yourself, in this day. What is the date? February the... It's the 4th already? Oh, my goodness. February 4, 2024. Today, I know. Tomorrow, I know. Next month, I know. 1 year from now, I know. When I'm happy, I know. When I'm not happy, I know. You see, this reality doesn't change based upon your experiences. In fact, the harder the situation is, the more you need to know this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to what Jesus said in John 6:48. I assure you, and I'm reading the Amplified Version, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, he who believes in me as Savior, whoever adheres to, trusts and relies on, in other words, that is what it means to believe, right? You are relying on this reality. You're relying on it. You know, I often say, again, reinforcing my own faith, I say these things, and this is part of my confession, Father, I'm relaxing in your love. And then I see myself like Jesus on that boat with the storm, sleeping. I say, you know what? As he is, so am I. So, Father, I'm relaxing right now. In the midst of the storm, as he is, I am. I'm relaxing in the knowledge that you love me. So I'm relaxing in the love of the Father. And then I say, and Jesus, I'm relying on your life. So I'm relaxing in the Father's love. I'm relying on the light of the Son inside of me. Say, I'm relaxing in the love of the Father. And then picture yourself relaxing in the love of the Father. Let's get a grip on this. Amen? And then I would say, well, Jesus, I'm relying on your life in me to enable me to be and to do whatever whatever the Father wants me to be and do, I am relying on your life in me. I'm not asking you to help me. I'm relying totally on your life in me to get me through this, to do the will of the Father, to desire and do the Father's will. Because, by the way, that's the only thing we should be desiring his life to do and accomplish is the Father's will. Correct? Are you listening? Amen. Hallelujah. And then I also say concerning the Spirit, I'm resting in your light that overcomes all darkness. Because you see, the Father's life, the Son's life is light. His life is light. And that light overcomes darkness. Whatever darkness is, sin, it overcomes it. Sickness, it overcomes it. Lack, it overcomes it. Just see light overcoming darkness. I mean, I don't care how dark this place is. You come, you flip the light, and the light just drives out the darkness. Well, the light of his life, oh goodness. His life is light. Say, your light in me is light. And this light overcomes, drives out, casts out all darkness in my soul, in my emotions, in my body. I am resting and rejoicing in the power of your light that is driving out and overcoming the darkness. And then see the darkness being overcome by the light. Make this thing personal. Don't let it just be something in the book. Don't let this be religion. This is real. This is life, the life of the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself living inside of you. Still here? Hallelujah. Having Christ in heaven is good, but having him personally permanently residing in us is far better. And this is what we have when we have eternal life. Now, if we truly grab this, get a grip on it, make it ours, and we're believing it, we're relying upon it, then there should be certain expectations that should come forth as a result of this union. And I'm going to share just two and then I'm going to be done. One of the expectations we should have, if indeed Christ is our life, we should expect him to do his works through us. We should expect him to do his works through us. Listen to what he said in John chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, if you could read that. If you could put that up there. He said in John 14, 12, let's read it together. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Stop there. Notice, you're going to do greater works than even he did. Because he said, I'm going to the Father. He was talking to his disciples. And again, you got to understand what he means. When he says, I'm going to the Father, again, he means I'm going to go deal with the sin problem. And then I'm going to come back and I'm actually going to be able to live in you. And because I'm going to live in you and we're going to be one, you're going to be able to do my works and even greater works. He's actually referring to the union that will take place with him and them after he has gone to the Father. So again, the works are all connected to this union between him and us. Amen. The fact that he is himself in his glorified form now living inside of us and working in us. So he says, because I go to my Father, you will do the works I do and even greater works. Next verse. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Next verse. If you ask anything in my name, Notice the you and the I. Notice how connected you and him are. You ask, I will do. I will do. I will do. He's in you. So whatever you're asking in his name or demanding in his name, he says, I will do it. So one of the things then that we should be expecting, believing, declaring, growing in, is our confidence that the works he did, because he now lives in us, he is going to do through us, or we're going to do by his power, and even greater works. Are you hearing me? Now, do you believe that? Well, we need to believe it. Because the more we believe that, rely upon it, act upon it, the more we will experience him doing exactly what he said. Amen? But if we don't believe it, if we don't take it seriously, if it's just there, but we say, how can I do the works Jesus did? He's the Son of God. Greater works. I'm not even doing the great work yet. If you immediately look at that and your mind and religion says that's not possible, guess what? For you, it would be impossible. And here's why we're not seeing more, because we haven't gotten a grip on this. Religion says, no, Jesus is Jesus. And so we can't expect to do or for him to do through us what he did. But let's believe him. Amen? That the works he did, we will do. And we will do what? Greater works. Why? Because you're great? Because he's gone to the Father. Because he is in you. Because he's saying, I am going to do these things through you. We got a testimony two weeks ago where Christiane shared about her mother who was seriously sick. And, you know, she had a heart surgery, I believe. And then she was just vomiting. It didn't look good. Okay. She was prompted to call Dr. Patricia here. And she prayed on the phone. And as soon as she said amen, the lady who had been vomiting, the elderly woman, the vomiting stopped. She asked for food, and she hadn't been able to eat for days. What is that, the works that Jesus did? Why did that happen? Because Jesus lives in Patricia. It's not because she's great, but the greater one lives in her. He's been to the Father. He did what he did. He now lives in her, and she prays a prayer, and he immediately, that prayer she prayed, that word she spoke, immediately caused the vomiting to stop, the appetite to return, the elderly woman who had a heart problem to go home and to be well. I think it was 2 years ago now, I don't remember, who prayed for Caleb when he had, do you remember? Huh? Ophelia. Is Ophelia here? Okay. But Ophelia is how old? 21. Okay. So a few years ago, the young people were here praising and worshiping, and Caleb had a door to drop on his foot. And so he came in with a cane. Okay? And you know, a door drop on your foot, it was swollen, it was bruised. He had to use the cane. And we were here just worshiping, and then Pastor Vani asked me to come and pray. And to be honest with you, I was in the back. I wasn't really into the worship. I'm just being honest, right? I was there, basically, I was present watching, but not really entering in. You know the difference. Where you're there, but you're not there. So I was there watching, but not really engaging myself in worship. So when Pastor Vani called me, I said, Lord, I got nothing to say. But I trust you, you're living in me. Literally, I mean, you're living in me, right? And as you are, so am I. That was my confession, okay? I was reminding myself of what Jesus, when I got up here, again, as he is, so am I. That revelation created in me a sense of boldness, okay? And we prayed, and then I called, I prayed, I don't know who I prayed for, but I prayed for someone, and a number of people in the experience healing. But when Kayla came, because he was visibly, it was evident that he had a problem, you could see the bruise. He was limping. He had the crush, but I didn't feel. I felt prompted then by the Holy Spirit to have, what's her name again? Ophelia, to pray. And you could see she was, me? I said, just pray. And she said just a few words. And you could see the power of God come upon Caleb. I mean, he began to, this big boy, football man. You see him on the field, you run. He started to tremble before little Ophelia. But the power of God. Jesus Christ, who lives in Ophelia, begin to manifest through her, do his works through her. And Caleb began to tremble, and then he began to put pressure. And something had already started. The next day, which was Monday, because he was supposed to go to play football, you know, and all that stuff. He was very concerned whether he would be able to do what he needed to do to be able to play for that season. He got up the next day, the bruise gone, the swelling gone, and went back on the football field as though nothing had ever happened. The works I do, you will do also. And even greater works. Let's believe that he's going to do the same works. And let's believe we're also going to see greater works. That he, Jesus, who is alive, the same Jesus who walked and healed and did good, is living today inside of his people. Living inside of you, living inside of me, and the same works that he did yesterday, he will do today, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is we who are setting limitations on Christ because of our lack of knowledge or our unbelief. This just came to me. When I was in college, there was an elderly lady who lived in senior citizen housing that was owned by the university. And somehow I had met her and we became friends. And one day she calls me because she had a growth that had developed in her body and she was scheduled to go for surgery. And she wanted me to pray. And I remember picking up the phone. I didn't go to the place. I picked up the phone. And this revelation, you see, there are times when we walk in these things and there are times that we just lay down. That's just a reality. It's not that God isn't always there, but our consciousness of what we have and our willingness to act upon it changes, and that's unfortunate. But I must have been meditating in the scripture or something because I was ready to go, you know. And when she called and she shared with me, I remember praying with her on the phone. And I was speaking in the name of Jesus, and I was believing that Jesus was actually working through me. And as I was doing that, she began to say, DJ, she saw Jesus. Jesus literally, I was in my dormitory room on a phone. We didn't have cell phones then, so it was, you know, that was 19. All right. Amen. So I was using the best technology available then. But I was on the phone praying, and she was in her house, maybe about 4 or 5 miles from where I was. But as I was praying, the woman saw Jesus. Jesus came in and Jesus touched her. And she was instantly healed. Didn't have to have surgery. The works I do, you will do also. and greater works. He lives in you. He lives in me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is working in you. May God open my eyes and your eyes so that we might become more conscious of the reality of who we have living on the inside of us and what he can do and what he would do and what he wants to do through us. Hey, hallelujah. Now listen to me, and I'm going to conclude. Hear me. Remember the question that was one time very popular. I don't know if it still is. I don't see much of it anymore. What would Jesus do? WWJD. What would Jesus do? That became very popular. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? There's a problem with that. And the problem with that is it treats Jesus as an example. Okay? So Jesus is an example. And so in order to decide what I need to do, I need to look at Jesus as an example. What would Jesus do? And then try to do it. Imitate, because he's an example. But hear me. When we are grounded and we truly grab and get a hold of the revelation that it is Jesus himself who is the eternal life living on the inside of us the same yesterday, today, and forever, then you know what? The question is now, what would Jesus do? As though, okay, I'm trying to remember and recall what he did. No, no. The question is, what is Jesus doing now? Because the inside of you, what does Jesus want to do in me, with me, for me, and through me now? What is Jesus doing now that I am to flow with? That I am to cooperate with, that I am to align myself with, because he's doing something now. You got to hear me. In your situation, Jesus wants to do something now. Jesus is doing something now. The question is, Jesus, what are you doing now? That I may flow with you, I may yield my members to you. That you might work in me, work with me, and work through me to accomplish what you are doing now. Not what would he do? He's not an example. What is he doing now? He's living in you. He is hearing what you're hearing, seeing what you see, feeling, being touched by the feelings of their infirmities. He's being touched by what is happening. He knows the mind of God. He knows the will of God. He knows what the Father wants done. Are you listening to me? And he is now inside of you doing something, working in you, working with you, working for you, working through you. What, Jesus, are you doing now? I yield my members to you. I yield my body to you. I yield my spirit to you. I yield my soul to you. I yield my life to you. What are you doing now, Jesus? Do it. Do it. I believe you're doing it, Lord. I believe you're working, Lord. I believe you're working in me, Lord. I believe you're working through me. You see, our attitude towards the indwelling Christ, the Son of God, should be the same attitude he had towards his Father who indwelt him. And he spoke about that. So let me conclude. Let me conclude with this scripture. Go to John 14, 10. Because this is just like the Father worked in the Son. The relationship between the Father and Son is intended now to be the relationship between the Son and us. In the same way the Father worked in and through the Son, the whole design and purpose of God is that the Son will work with and through us. And in the same way the Son responded to the Father, the purpose and plan is that we will respond to the Son in the same way. So are you ready? Let's read this together. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Philip had asked the question, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus said, me, I've been with you all this time. And you don't know me. If you see me, you've seen the Father. You know what God wants us to get to? To be able to say, when somebody comes to you and says, show me Jesus, I've been here all along. And you don't know. that when you were seeing me, you were actually seeing Jesus because he was the one working in and through me. Now, if you start saying that, it will say you're proud. They say she's proud. But that's truth. That's exactly what the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit want. So that when people want to see Jesus, they just got to look at you because you and Jesus are one and you are so yielded to Jesus. Jesus is the one working through you. Jesus is the one speaking through you. So when they see you, they've seen him. And that is maturity, by the way. That is spiritual growth. That's where we're going to. And the more they can see him in you, the more the Father is glorified. Now, here's the problem. The problem is not that you don't have everything he has. Everything that Jesus has, you have, because he himself is in you. The problem is you got a lot of other stuff that he didn't have. And those things get in the way. So the Father has to prune us. Basically move the things that are in the way, that are limiting the manifestation of the light that is in us. So God doesn't have to add stuff to you. He needs to take some things away. Like unbelief. Like unforgiveness. You see, there's just a lot of stuff that just get in the way. Do you understand? But let's read this. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The works that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me. Now let me read the other translation. Let me read the Amplified. But the Father abiding continually in me does his works, his attesting miracles and acts of power. The Father abiding continually in me does his work. Another version says, it is the Father who dwells in me and who carries out his work. And we're supposed to be able to say, it is the Son abiding in me doing his works. It is the Son abiding in me carrying out his works. The words that I speak to you, Jesus said, it's the Father speaking. The works that I do, it's the Father doing. And that's exactly the kind of relationship we can have, we should have, we should believe we have, we should be cultivating every day, that it's the Son of God is living in me, and Christ is my life. And the words that I speak, he is speaking through me. And right now, the words I speak, he is speaking through me. And these words have power to produce works, his works. So even as he's speaking through me, his works are being done through me. By the words he's speaking through me, your lives are being transformed in Jesus' name from glory to glory, from glory to glory. Go ahead and say hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah. Now open your mouth and declare, say, I am in the Son. And the Son is in me. The words that I speak, I do not speak of my own authority. But the Son who dwells in me, he does the works. Say hallelujah. The Father did the work through the Son. And what was the Son's part? To depend totally, always, completely on the Father in him to do the works. Believer, he already lives inside of you. If you're a Christian, he's already there. He's dwelling. You don't have to bring him. You don't have to pray. He's there. All we need is to grow in our understanding and comprehension of this reality so that we're consciously fellowshipping, communing, working as he works through us. May God help all of us to grow in our understanding and in our revelation of what it means to have the eternal life, the eternal Son of God himself, the same yesterday, today, and forever, living and working inside of me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord willing, next week we'll look at John chapter 15 and look at the whole idea of him being the vine and we being the branches. Were you blessed? Were you ministered to? Were you helped? Were you strengthened? Give Jesus the praise. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. You are alive. You are alive. You're working in us. You're working with us. You're working for us. You're working through us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now hear me. He can't work in you until he's in you. He got to first be in you to work in you, work with you, work through you. And he can't be in you until you start to confess that he is the Savior, the Lord, and you're willing to let him come in and take possession of you. That is a choice he's not going to make for you. You're going to have to make that choice. You may be here this afternoon, or you may be this morning, or you may be watching online, and you have not yet said yes to him. He has come. He has died. He has done everything for your salvation. He wants to live in you and through you. He wants to become one with you. Everything we talked about, he wants that for you. But he does not force these things. You've got to cooperate. It's a choice you have to make. And so I'm going to ask you today, if you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, how do you do that? You repent. You begin by acknowledging that you're a sinner. You just can't save yourself. You can never be right. You're lost. Amen. You don't have his life. You got to acknowledge that. Amen. But then once you acknowledge that, he said, but I want salvation. I want you. I want life. I want what you have. I desire that you would be my Savior, my Lord. Apart from you, I'm like nothing. Amen. Thank you, sister. That has to be the attitude. If you have that attitude right now, and you're willing to rely on Christ, no longer upon yourself, but rely upon Jesus to be your Savior, to be not just your Savior and Lord, but now to be your life. Savior, Lord, life. If you're willing to receive him right now, he's more than ready to cleanse you of all your sins, come into your heart, and then the process, the journey begins with him as he causes you to bear more and more fruit and conforms you to his image. But here it is. Have you received Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Do you know beyond a shadow of doubt Christ lives inside of you? Do you know that you have eternal life? Every eye bowed, every head closed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We just want to make it a little bit easier. If you say, Bishop, I want prayer because, you know what, I believe in God, I even am in church, but something tells me I have not yet truly received Christ as my Savior and Lord, and I want to make sure that that is the case, will you just raise your hand right there? And we're gonna pray with you. But just raise your hand. You got to be willing to acknowledge your need. Can't help you if you're not going to acknowledge your need. The Bible says it's the humble man that receives grace. The proud man cannot. You got to humble yourself and admit your need to receive the grace of God. Would you raise your hand and say, Bishop, I want to receive Christ as my Savior and Lord. I haven't done that. All right. Okay. If you're online, you can receive Christ there as well. You may have not yet received him as your Savior and Lord. Right there, you can. I'm going to help you, but you got to make this prayer your own. Just, church, let's pray together and help the people who are receiving Christ right now. Say, Father God, we acknowledge Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. We acknowledge that we have sinned, and we are sinners by nature, and we cannot save ourselves. We repent. We desire to live the life that pleases you, but we are powerless. Jesus, I confess, you died for my sins. You arose from the grave. You're coming again. Please, Jesus, come now. Come inside of me. Live in me. Take possession of me. Change me by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen to me. Just repeating the words doesn't save you, but if those words came out of your heart and you really meant it, listen to me. By the authority of the word of God, I declare your sins are all forgiven. Christ now lives on the inside of you. You have new life, and now you need to get to know what you have. in Jesus' name. We want to help you grow. Would you please communicate with us by sending us a message? The information is on the screen. Let us know how we can help you. And I'm going to give a second invitation. If you're here today, say, Bishop, I want to make this my church home. I don't have a church home. You know, I've been praying about one. I've been coming to this one for a while, but I've made up my mind. I want to be a member of this church, and I want you and the pastors here to pastor me. Amen. I want it to make it official. Okay? If you're saying, Bishop, I want that, just raise your hand so we can see those who say, listen, I want to make this church my church home. I want to be a member. I haven't yet become a member. Raise your hand in Jesus' name. Sisters, God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else. Amen. Amen. Right after the service, those of you who desire to be members, would you please come up here? I'll be here to shake your hands and talk to you and give you some instructions. Are you glad you came today? All right.